is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Why? You may have a why question, a what question, a who question, a how question, whatever it is that you're thinking about today. I'm Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I'll be glad to try to answer that question for you. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe you have a question about something you've been reading in the Bible, something you've been talking about in a Bible study or in a small group, something that you heard your pastor say in the pulpit, and you're wondering, how do I apply that to my life? Maybe it's an ethical question that you have, something that you're really weighing and trying to decide what to do. Maybe it's a question about how to engage your neighbors in evangelism. Maybe something you saw on the news, on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, and you're wondering, how do I look at that as a Christian? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and I'll be glad to try to answer that question. First question is, why am I here? Where is Dr. Mohler? And the answer to that is, Dr. Mohler is on a plane, flying right now from Los Angeles to Orlando, Florida, where he's going to pick back up this program tomorrow, dealing with the issues of the day, but he can't very well broadcast from coach on an airplane. As a matter of fact, I think that probably would cause some interference with the communications devices on the plane. They won't let him do it. So I'm here sitting in for him today and would be glad to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. It's Ask Anything Wednesday, so ask anything you want to. But before we go to that, go to your calls. Some issues in the news today. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, the front runner for the Democratic presidential nomination, is using some old language. She's pulling something back out of the vault. Speaking in New Hampshire, she said there is a vast right-wing conspiracy going on. As a matter of fact, she says, if anyone tells you that there is no vast right-wing conspiracy, tell them that New Hampshire has proven it in court. Let's remember what Hillary Clinton said the first time in 1998.
The great story here for anybody willing to find it and write about it and explain it is this vast right-wing conspiracy that has been conspiring against my husband since the day he announced for president.
You know, I can't figure out why she would want to use that kind of language. I think Hillary Clinton is a smart lady. She is a very savvy politician. Why would you use the language of vast right-wing conspiracy when the first time you used it, so famously, it's become part of the whole lexicon of political talk in the United States of America. The first time you used it, speaking to Matt Lauer, the vast right-wing conspiracy actually was right about the issue, 1998, with President Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. But she's pulling it back out again, and she's going to use that kind of language again. Who knows how many times she's going to appeal to this vast right-wing conspiracy. We'll see whether or not it works. I was surprised to see that Merle Haggard endorsed Hillary Clinton the other day. Oki from Muskogee has now moved on over into Clinton support. So we'll see how much success she has. Also in the news, the Polish government has announced that it plans to spend tons of money over the next 7 years. What they want to do is to try to increase the birth rate in Poland. They're going to tinker not just with the tax policies there, but they're going to increase maternity leave. They're going to extend opening hours for kindergartens. They're going to do all kinds of things to try to bring pro-family policies into play so that the Polish people will have more babies. And it's because Poland recognizes if they continue to decline in population, that is bad news for the future. Really some disturbing news today from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer about the abortion issue. Really showing us where our culture is going on this. There's a nonprofit organization that has a new series of electronic greeting cards to people who have had abortions. It's cards to send to a woman after she has the abortion, and it expresses sympathy, also helping the person to grieve, even some of them that have religious tones to them. The pioneer of this e-greeting card for abortion victims says, "We designed them to deal with different people's response to abortion. Not everyone everyone is grieving their loss. Not everyone has a relationship with God. Not everyone thinks it is the best thing. We hope the people who send them take the time to think not only about the message they want to send, but what is best for the person receiving it and what they need to hear. Now, what this is really showing us is, yes, there are women all over this country who are grieving in the aftermath of an abortion. The question is, what do they need? I don't think they need another greeting card. What they need instead is a message of redemption and reconciliation, the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. But I think this really shows us that you have a culture that at least is acknowledging that abortion is morally problematic, that there are scars that are being left behind by what they would call a procedure. Also, in Georgia is about to introduce two literature classes on the Bible in public schools next year. And this is going to allow public school teachers in the state of Georgia to teach the Bible, but to teach the Bible as literature, so that the Bible is not going to be taught as a religious text. They're not going to be theological doctrines being taught. It's not going to be invitations to faith in Christ. It will be teaching the Bible as literature and the impact of the Bible on Western civilization, Western literature. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of lawsuits are spawned out of this and what kind of conversation comes about in the state of Georgia over how ought we to think about the Bible. Not just Christians, but how should Christians and non-Christians think about the role the Bible has played in this society and in this culture, and why has the Bible been so formative of this culture? What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'll be glad to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. It's Ask Anything Wednesday, so ask anything that you want to, and I will be glad to give it a shot. We have Steve on the line, who is calling from Mount Vernon, Indiana, listening on XM Radio. Steve, what's your question today?
Yes, Dr. Moore, my question has to do with if a brother has wronged you and will not accept the fact, I guess, that they have wronged you, and they're not asking for forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
How are Christians to handle that?
Well, that's a good question, Steve. And I think that what the Scripture tells us is that we are to forgive regardless of the reaction of the other person. And so I think that our call is to forgive someone who has wronged us, even if that person refuses to acknowledge that he has done wrong. Now, what that means is sometimes there are consequences that come along. For instance, Jesus gives us church discipline. So that you have someone who has wronged a brother and is unrepentant of that, the congregation may say, we need to bring you under the discipline of the congregation. But you personally cannot give in to vengeance. I mean, that's what forgiveness is in the New Testament. Forgiveness is not saying what you have done is okay. Forgiveness is not saying, I have looked at your motives and I've looked at the situation and in the context, I understand what you're doing and I want you to know it's okay by me. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness instead is saying, you may have wronged me. This wrong is going to be brought before the judgment seat of Christ. This wrong will be dealt with by a God who is holy and just, but I recognize that I'm not him. I recognize that I am not the one who will avenge myself. Because I recognize if you're a brother in Christ, that is dealt with at the cross of Jesus Christ. If you're an unbeliever, that will be dealt with either as you apply the benefits of the cross to your life, or it will be dealt with at judgment by our Lord Jesus who is holy and just. So when we forgive, what we're doing is we're looking to the future and saying, I don't have to fight for myself. You know, as God said to the Israelites as he's bringing them out of Egypt, you remain still and I will fight for you. While you remain silent, I will fight. And that's one of the reasons why when you have someone who wrongs you, kind of your typical reaction and my typical first reaction is to say, I'm going to come back at you with a biting word. I'm going to come back at you by lashing out with you with everything that you're giving to me. That's not what a Christian is called to. A Christian is called to soft answer turns away wrath. It also is an act of trust where you're saying, I don't have to be proven right in this. Because God is the one who is holy, and God is the one who is just. That's a very good question, Steve. What about you? What question do you have today about anything you want to talk about the Bible, about politics, about theology, about ethics, about marriage, about family? Whatever it is that you want to talk about, give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and I'll be glad to talk to you. We have Brandon on the line. Brandon, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you.
What's your question today?
My question is, basically, what is the new perspective on Paul, and how does it differ from the traditional Reformed view of justification, and I will hang up and listen to your response.
All right, that's a good question, Brandon. There's a lot of conversation these days about the new perspective on Paul. What the new perspective wants to do is to say that justification isn't about individual forgiveness of sins or imputation of righteousness in the case of individual believers. Instead, justification has to do in the New Testament with who are the people of God. It has to do with tribal boundary markers such as circumcision. That's what justification is. It has to do more with the church than it has to do with the individual. Sometimes what people who advocate the new perspective are doing, they're really saying, you're not explaining your view well enough. We ought to hear that and explain the biblical doctrine of justification, which is that if you are in Christ, if you are united to Christ, your sins have been forgiven and you bear Christ's righteousness. It belongs to you. What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Whatever you want to talk about, it's Ask Anything Wednesday, so ask anything. I'll try to answer. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Maybe you don't know why, and maybe you'd like to talk about it and try to find out why, or what, or how, or which, or whatever it is that you want to talk about today. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and it's Ask Anything Wednesday, which means you can ask anything you want to, and I will at least try to answer it. I won't guarantee that I will answer it in a way that's satisfactory, but I will try my best to answer that question. Maybe it's about the Bible, something you were reading in your personal devotion time. Maybe something that you and some friends are talking about as you're looking at the Bible. Maybe it's something you saw on the news. Maybe it's something going on in your house or in your neighborhood that you're wondering, how should I think about this as a Christian? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and I will be glad to try to answer your call. We have Kevin on the line. Kevin, what's your question today?
Yes, Dr. Moore, my question is, how can we have predestination and at the same time have free will? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, of course, the Bible does speak both to predestination. The Bible uses that language, the language of election, those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. Scripture talks about that initiating work of God in our lives. Also, Scripture speaks to the fact that we're free. So no one is coercing us. It's not as though God comes and takes people who don't want to believe and who don't want to receive Christ, and he just kind of forces them into eternal life. Nor does he say to people who are saying, I really want to be saved, oh, no, we're sorry, you've not been predestined to that. That's not what we mean when we say predestination, nor is it what we mean when we say freedom. What I mean is this. Basically, Scripture says we do what we want to do. And the problem is, in our sinful condition, what we all want to do is to sin against God. And if left on our own, what we're going to do is to continue to run away from God. We freely choose to do that. What the Scripture also says is that God in His grace and His mercy initiates salvation. Now, all Christians don't agree on how God does that. Not all Christians agree on what that means. But we do all agree that God initiates salvation, and that ultimately the reason why I'm saved is because of God, and because of God's grace, and because of God's mercy. So I think that what we have to do is to say, you know, there's a mystery here in Scripture to a certain degree. There's a certain extent in which we're not going to be able to measure up, okay, here's God's sovereignty, here's human freedom. We know that both are true. And we know that I'm saved by the fact that God graciously initiates my salvation. Very good question. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and I'll be glad to talk to you about whatever it is that you want to talk about. We have Nancy on the line, listening in Fairfax, Virginia, listening on XM Radio. Nancy, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello. I have a question for you. I've been divorced for almost a year.
Okay.
And that's what the Bible says, but I would hope to think that God would want me to be happy one day and allow me to remarry.
What does your pastor say?
Honestly, I haven't talked to my pastor about it.
Okay. Well, Nancy, I think you need to talk to your pastor about this. Christians sometimes disagree on what are the grounds for remarriage. Most Christians tend to think that the Scripture gives us two. if there is immorality, if there is adultery within the marriage, or if a Christian is abandoned by an unbeliever, so that these are what many Christians refer to as the exception clauses. Now, even in those situations, though, the church has to look into this. You have to be living in a community of people who are advising you, a community of people who are working together for the sanctification of the body. What I would encourage you to do is to make an appointment right away with your pastor and say, listen, I want to be held accountable to this church about my marriage situation. I want you to have access to everything that went on in this divorce, and I want to submit to the leadership of this congregation in discerning the will of God. Now, let me say this. You said, I know what the Bible says, but doesn't he want me to be happy? Now, Nancy, that causes me concern, more concern than the specific issues involved as to whether or not you meet biblical qualifications to be remarried. You need to first address the issue of a heart that says, I know what the Bible says, but. Instead, cultivate an attitude that says, I want to know what the Bible says. And sometimes that's complicated. But I want to find out what the Bible says, and then I want to submit to that, whether or not I think that makes me temporarily happy right now. But go and see your pastor. Don't work this through on your own. Because frankly, even if you were to come to a situation where you say, I'm going to submit to the authority of the Bible, we have deceitful hearts, and hearts that want to convince us that what we want to do really does happen to fit in with the Bible. And so hold yourself accountable to that congregation. There are people who are willing to pray with you. There are people who are willing to work with you in this, and hold yourself accountable to that congregation. What's your question? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Now, frankly, the question that Nancy just asked is so common. It's not unique to her, and I don't know what went on in her divorce. Don't want to know, because the primary issue there is that heart attitude that all of us struggle with. It's not just Nancy. I do that, too. I do that all the time. Well, I know what God says, but God surely would want me to be happy, kind of like what the first question we had today. There are a lot of us who are willing to say, well, I know that God says vengeance is mine, but I know God wants me to exercise just this little bit of vengeance just this one time. You can rationalize yourself into doing anything. A heart that is submissive to the will of God, though, is one that says, even if I don't see how this will make me happy, I know God has my happiness at heart, and I know that God knows what's best for me. What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Keith on the line, who is listening on WTBN, calling from Tampa, Florida. Keith, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Happy afternoon.
Hello there. What's your question today?
Yeah, my question is, actually somebody posed the question to me, and I tried to answer as best as I could, but the question is, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian.
Well, they're wrong. Scripture says instead that what Jesus is saving us to is to the church. So that you have, for instance, the Apostle John writing in 1 John, when he gives us these lists of ways to know that we really know him, to know if we're really saved, one of these is love for the brothers. And brothers here doesn't just mean friends. It means the brothers, the community of the faithful. He says, if anyone says, I do not love the brothers, he does not know Christ. He also says those who went out from among us, they did so because they were never of us. So that those who do not participate in the life of the church are evidencing the fact that they don't really believe in Christ. Same thing happens in the book of Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews says, neglect not the assembling of yourselves together. Sometimes we think that's just a word of encouragement. The writer of Hebrews is saying, you know, I know it's hard to go to church, but you really ought to go to church. Like the writer of Hebrews is nagging us. That's not what the writer of Hebrews is doing. That's a warning passage saying that if you walk away from the community of God, if you walk away from the church, you are walking away from the gospel. You are saying, I've never really come to know Christ. And that's because in the New Testament, Jesus says, I'm the head, the church is my body. When Jesus appears before Paul, Saul of Tarsus, that is, he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? If you say, I don't love the church, then you can talk all you want to about that you love an idea of Jesus, but this is Jesus' body. And you're saying, I don't see the use for it. If you're a Christian, you're involved in the life of the church. And if you're not involved in the life of the church, you need to repent And you need to seriously question this as a matter of serious, serious spiritual import. What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. It's Ask Anything Wednesday, so ask anything you want to, and I'll try to answer. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about.
No, no, no. I love you, Tom T. Hall, but you're wrong on that one. And that's exactly the kind of attitude. You know, the last caller that we had says that someone he knows said to him, I can be a Christian, I just don't need the church. And that's a very common attitude, but it is not what the New Testament teaches. If we believe in Jesus, we become a part of his body, of his church. And that means if you're saying, I don't have any interest in the church, I don't have any accountability to the church, Jesus says, what you're saying is, I don't have any interest in Jesus Christ. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and it's Ask Anything Wednesday, so I want to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. You get to set the agenda today. You think of whatever question you might have about the Bible, about doctrine, about politics, about culture, about marriage or family, whatever you want to talk about, an ethical issue, a career issue as it relates to the gospel. You say, I just don't know how I can think about this as a Christian. Well, give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and I'll be glad to talk to you about it. We have Jerry on the line, who is calling from Winter Haven, Florida. Jerry, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you very much. My question is kind of an off-the-wall question, and I guess it's a good question for Ask Anything Wednesday. Throughout history, there have been nations that have had no access to God, to Jesus, didn't even know they existed because of the time they lived or the place they lived. And I'm thinking, say, for example, the American Indians, say in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s,
yeah.
Was there any mechanism for salvation for them since they had no knowledge that the Middle East ever existed?
I think the answer to that, Jerry, is that there is no salvation that comes except through the name of Jesus Christ. And so you think about, for instance, this isn't just a theoretical issue. There are entire people groups right now who have never heard the name of Jesus, who don't know that there's a Middle East that has ever existed, who don't know the gospel. The answer to that is that the gospel must go to them. And that's why the Apostle Paul is so burdened in Romans chapter 10 when he says, how can they believe unless they've heard, and how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And so left to our own, we're going to stand accountable for our own sins. That means that we're lost. The only thing that can intervene in that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is through the foolishness of what is preached, the Apostle Paul says, that God saves. That's how the Holy Spirit works. So the Holy Spirit does not ever work in convicting of sin apart from the proclamation and preaching of the gospel, which is exactly why it is so important for you to share your faith. That's why it is so important for us to give sacrificially to send people to the mission field to preach the gospel. It is why it is so important for some of you out there right now who have been called to preach the gospel, whether in North America or around the world or where Christ is not named, to do that, to be obedient to that, because this is how God saves people. And apart from the proclamation of the gospel, there's only our lostness. What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and I'll be glad to try to talk to you about whatever it is you want to talk about. It's Ask Anything Wednesday, so ask anything you want to. We have Tatum on the line. Tatum, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello. I have a question. I was curious if you could talk a little bit about 1 Timothy chapter 2, of course, when it talks about the women keeping quiet, receiving instruction quietly, don't go with braided hair, all those. If you could talk about that. And I wanted to know if you could tell us the difference between, if there's a difference between exhortation and teaching, and what exactly is the role of women in the church?
Okay. Tatum has pointed to a very controversial passage of Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2, in which the Apostle Paul, he talks about the fact that women are not to be identified by their external beauty, but by an internal beauty. The Apostle Peter also talks about this. Apostle Paul also says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. That's the issue. It is not that the Apostle Paul says, I don't permit a woman to talk. It is not that the Apostle Paul says women are not gifted for service in the church. He is not saying that. As a matter of fact, there are certain roles that are given only to women in the New Testament. Titus 2, for instance, that kind of a woman, discipling woman type of ministry that is given. That's given only to women. And so there are certain roles that are given only to women. There are other roles that are given only to men, which Paul grounds in the creation itself. He says God has designed it this way to where men are to be the ones who are involved in teaching men. And so I think that has everything to do with the standing to explain the Scripture, to apply the Scripture into the life of the hearers. I don't think that just refers to pastor. I think it refers to anyone who is in that kind of teaching ministry within the life of the congregation. Should you have women in the congregation who are teaching? Absolutely. You need women who are teaching women within the congregation. I think the prohibition comes when you have women who are teaching or exercising authority over men. What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And I'll be glad to talk to you about whatever you want to, about the Bible, about politics, about culture, about anything. Give me a call, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be.
You know, that's often the level of some of our disagreements. A question that Tatum had about women's roles in the church is not a question of anything you can do. I can do better. No, you can't. Yes, I can. It's a question instead of the Apostle Paul saying God has gifted both men and women for service. He has created the world in which he wants men to serve as leaders, and he wants women to serve in unique ministries that he blesses. And so the issue is not who gets to do the really fun stuff and who does other things. Instead, it's that God has designed us differently, and so we serve the Lord often in different ways within the life of the local church. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and it is Ask Anything Wednesday, which means the phone lines are open for you to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Ask me anything that you're thinking about. Question maybe about the Bible, about doctrine, about politics, about the news, anything that's going on in the world that you're trying to think, you know, how should I think about that as a Christian? Something going on within your marriage or family or your neighborhood or your church where you're trying to make a decision about how to think of it as a Christian? Well, I'd be glad to talk to you about that. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You can ask anything because it's, well, Wednesday. We have Sarah on the line who is listening on KMMJ calling from Sutton, Nebraska. Sarah, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, thank you. What a blessing the show is. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you for that word.
I just have a question. What is your opinion on children's Sunday school, and do you have any Bible verses perhaps I can look up to study on that subject?
What about children's Sunday school, Sarah, specifically?
I guess, is it something that is biblically based, or is it just something that that throughout time it's taken on, you know, the same school aspect, and people have school, so therefore we have Sunday school also?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. I think that what's taking place in Scripture is that you have the mandate to teach children. I think the Scripture doesn't give you a blueprint for exactly how you ought to teach children. So I think children's Sunday school is biblical. Now, what I think is unbiblical is any attempt to segregate children off from the life of the church. So that if you have a Sunday school that is seeking to supplement the biblical teaching and discipleship that is going on within the church and to reach children outside of the church with the gospel, that's part of discipleship, that's part of Christian education, that's part of the mission of the church. You ought to be doing that. As a matter of fact, you ought to be doing that more. I think that many of our churches have children's Sunday schools that are not evangelistic enough, and they are not intense enough about discipleship. I think that's eminently biblical. Question of exactly how you do it, well, I think that has everything to do with your context. I don't think that God has revealed and said, Sunday school, 9:45 a.m., and you have to do it with these departments and with this curriculum. I don't think that that's the case. I think you have to say, in our context, what's the best way for us to reach children. But I do think that it's biblical and appropriate to have a unique time for the instruction of children about what it means to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So part of the problem, I think, with children's Sunday school in a lot of our churches is that we don't take it seriously enough. Or we think that children's Sunday school is about training children to be Christian children. And that's not what Sunday school is about, or any form of discipleship for children. It's about training children to become Christian men and women. And so the Sunday school really ought to be designed to bring children to a point of maturity where you're saying, you know what, this is the next generation of leadership within our church, within the churches of the Lord Jesus, and we're really going to give ourselves over to instruction in children's Sunday school. You know, I don't think I would be a Christian if it weren't for children's Sunday school. And it's not that I had necessarily an all-star team of Sunday school teachers. I think some of the people who taught Sunday school when I was a child probably came in there about like I did the first time I ever taught a Sunday school class, thinking, I don't even know what I'm doing. But you know what they did? They just came in and taught the Bible. And teaching the Bible is what the Lord used to bring me to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And frankly, what I learned in Sunday school has stood with me all of these years, and I think I'll be reflecting on my deathbed more about what I learned in fifth grade boys Sunday school at Woolmarket Baptist Church than I will about anything I learned in a PhD seminar. And so I would encourage you to make sure that you have a children's Sunday school and that that children's Sunday school is actually focused upon sin and redemption and grace and reconciliation, focused on Jesus Christ. What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'd be glad to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about today. It's Ask Anything Wednesday, so ask anything. We have Tracy on the line. Tracy, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Glad to. What's your question today?
I have a quick question for you. I'm new to my church,
okay.
And I came to church having a lot of debt, so I'm trying, of course, to get that under control.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been serving a lot and giving of my time in our children's ministry, but I haven't been able to tie the full 10%, although I strive to do that at some point. What does the Bible say, or what's your opinion on how service offsets tithing, if it does at all?
Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it, Tracy, to be able to offset that tithing with some service. I could see how you could kind of convince yourself of that. But I think that's not really an option. Now, Christians disagree about tithing, about whether or not the New Testament continues that Old Testament principle of tithing. I do think the New Testament does, because tithing predates the Mosaic Law. You have, for instance, a tithe being given by Abraham to Melchizedek. I think that tithing isn't something that we observe rigidly or legalistically. It ought to be that minimum level of cheerfully giving to the work of the church. And so I would say you're called to serve in your church. Give yourself over to serving in that church. You're also called to support the ministry of the gospel financially. And so I would say tithe. Make that a top priority in terms of the life of your home, and trust God to provide for you. And do both. Do both. Give yourself over in service and give yourself over in cheerfully giving to the Lord and to His ministry. What do you think? What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'm willing to talk to you about whatever's on your mind today, about the Bible, about culture, about politics, about the news, about marriage and family, whatever it is that you want to talk about, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Pete on the line in Holiday, Florida. Pete, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
Glad to.
Just had a quick question. Is God's will God's will always be done no matter what we pray? I'm just wondering, because based on Judas had to be the one to deceive Jesus, and if the disciples prayed against it, wouldn't that happen no matter what?
Well, it sounds like what you're asking, Pete, is if everything works together for the good anyway, then why should I pray? Because what difference is it going to make? I think the scripture answers that by saying that God uses our prayer to bring about what He wants to bring about. And so God doesn't accomplish His will apart from the prayers of His people. So it's kind of like saying, you know what, if God knows exactly when I'm going to die, then why do I continue to eat? Why don't I just go throw myself off of a skyscraper and say, God knows the very minute that I'm going to die. I can't die a minute before He's decreed it. Splat. Well, now you know when your time was up. I think instead God uses the prayers of His people to bring about His ends and to bring about His will. What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
I've been doing some hard traveling, I thought you know. I've been hitting some hard traveling way down the road. I've been having some hard traveling, hard rambling, hard gambling. I've been having some hard traveling.
Well, now, Albert Mueller may be doing some hard traveling. I don't think he's doing any hard gambling over the last couple of days, but he is out on the road, and he will be back tomorrow on this broadcast taking your questions and giving a Christian worldview about whatever happens to be in the news tomorrow and who can predict these days. But today is Ask Anything Wednesday. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and we're talking to you about what you want to talk about today. So give me a call in these remaining minutes, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Debbie on the line calling from Tampa, Florida. Debbie, welcome to the Albert Mueller program.
Hello, thank you.
What's your question today?
My son and his wife are just now deciding they think they need to go to church.
Okay.
And this is wonderful. I've been praying for this.
Great.
And they're, you know, they're not too much on the Bible. They don't know. They really just don't know anything. And I want to buy them a good Bible to read. What translation would be a good Bible to get for them?
Well, there are all kinds of good translations out there. I would recommend the English Standard Version. The ESV is a very good translation. It's easy to read. It's accurate. It has a flow to it, so it's very easy to understand. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, same thing. It's very easy to understand. It also is very accurate. New King James Version, New American Standard Version. I really don't think you can go wrong with any of the four of those translations, and there are others. But those are four very, very strong, accurate, and yet easy to understand translations of the Bible. But, Debbie, I just rejoice with you. I think that is great news. You've been praying for this prodigal son. It looks like the Lord is doing something in his life. So what I'm going to do for you is to continue to pray that the Lord will continue to work in the lives of your son and his wife, that they'll read that Bible you give to them, whatever translation you pick out, and that they'll be present in a church where the gospel is going to be preached, that God will give words to the pastor to stand up and to preach boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that they would come to faith in the Lord Jesus. And frankly, I think that's an encouragement to a lot of our listeners out there who are saying, I've got a son. He's far gone. He's walked away from the gospel. He's walked away from his upbringing. Or I've got a mom or a dad or an uncle or a coworker. The Lord moves in mysterious ways. And sometimes just when you think, I've given every argument I know how to give. I have talked about Jesus. I've talked about the gospel as much as I know how to talk about it. I just don't have anything else to say. And all of a sudden, that one little sentence that you utter with the gospel, the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin, and you see your prayers answered. That's what I pray for you, Debbie. And I pray that for many people this week. Go out and share the gospel, win somebody to faith in Jesus, and believe that God saves. He still does. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmueller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.